Brown lobs into McCormick. 3 seconds, 2 seconds. He shoots. He scores. David McCormick with the biggest shot of his Jayhawk career. KU goes up 4 with 13 seconds to go. Reeves, a desperation 3, misses. Rebound Kansas. Brown down the floor. He'll dribble it out. And you can rock. Chalk it up. The Jayhawks win. Kansas escapes 63-59.
Oh, what a...
Why, yes, the Jayhawks did escape with the win at Allen Fieldhouse over the weekend over Oklahoma, who was playing shorthanded. Second leading scorer out, couple of players out, including Brady Manick, who is one of their better players. And KU survives the scare. David McCormick came up big, 17 points. Marcus Garrett had a big bucket for KU. Jalen Wilson really struggled and kind of forced things and had turnovers. He had 7 in the game, 9 points, 11 rebounds, had 2 big threes late. And KU finds a way to win over Oklahoma. Jayhawks now 10-2 in the Big 12, or 10-2 overall, 4-1 in the Big 12, as they beat Oklahoma. And Bill Self on David McCormick hit the game-clinching bucket, which was pretty impressive. KU was able to move the ball around, get it into McCormick, and he was able to score on a turnaround in the lane with 1 second left on the shot clock that gave KU a 2-possession lead, a 4-point advantage, and that would be the final, 63-59. Here's Self on McCormick.
Brown lobs into McCormick.
Try this again.
I thought he played well offensively. You know, we went to him early, and then, of course, he made 2 of the biggest plays of the game without question late. So, you know, I thought he was good. I thought Mitch was good, too, for the most part. I thought for the most part, especially the second half, they kind of plugged the gap and didn't allow the guards to get to the rim as well off ball screens. So that was positive. But, you know, it's hard to get too excited when, you know, your 2 bigs play 40 minutes combined for 1 rebound. So we got to do a better job of that.
Yeah, rebounding wasn't great for Kansas, but at the end of the day, Mitch Lightfoot made some big buckets as well for the Jayhawks. And once again, no Bryce Thompson. Marcus Garrett was back in the lineup, and the Jayhawks do win. KU will be in action at Oklahoma State tomorrow at 7 o'clock, pregame at 6:30 on Z96.3 The Lake. We'll talk some K-State basketball coming up, a weird situation that they were faced with over the weekend, already kind of up against it in regards to the inexperience that they have in a young team, and even more so against it over the weekend. We'll go over all that, plus a wild NFL wild card weekend. The Chiefs know who their opponent is. The national title game is tonight between Alabama and Ohio State, and the Shockers are back in action over the weekend as well. But first, we had some wrestling from over the weekend, plus we know who the area kids are that have been selected for the 8-man all-star football games, which we hope will take place coming up in June in Beloit.
Yeah, I'm actually going to start with that, and it's going to lead into some good wrestling news for one of those guys that was selected as well. Again, 8-man all-star games, you can find the full selections for all the teams at ncksports.com or 8manallstars.com. They're all posted there. As the local athletes are concerned, selections for the Division II East squad is where most of our area athletes will be playing. Twin brothers Braden Perez and Blake Perez of St. John's Tipton, as well as Wyatt Everly of Lakeside and Lance Kaiser of Osborne have been picked for that team, and Ethan Benny and Brendan Flavin of Pike Valley as well on that D2 East squad. Rock Hills coach Colby Hamill will be an assistant coach for the Division II East. And also on the Division I East team, Tyler Good of Lincoln was selected to play in the game. And then for the Division II West, Trey Barrientos of Sylvan Lucas carries on a pretty good tradition of his family. The two older brothers have both played in the game as well. And Trey just had an outstanding Saturday overall there after being selected to play in the 8-man All-Star game. And as the day went on and he finished, he was the champion of the Ellsworth Wrestling Invitational for the Lincoln Wrestling Squad. The defending state champ won the 285-pound weight class. He's now 11-0 on the season after winning the Ellsworth Championship. Also there, Ellsworth, Justin Whittler of Osborne claimed the gold medal, 145 pounds. Chris Heiss took 5th place at 170 for the Bulldogs, and Lance Kaiser finished 6th at 182. Also, the J.R. Durham Invitational in Norton, Beloit finished in 3rd place as a team. The top individual finishers, 1st place finishes for Hunter Prohaska of Beloit at 170, as well as Jake Sass of Smith Center at 220 pounds. 2nd place finishes, Tate Cadle of Beloit 160, Brennan Walker at 182 for Beloit, and Cameron Conkle at 220 pounds. Bentley Montgomery of Smith Center placed 3rd at 126, and then 4th place finishes from the area, Connor Kozant of Beloit at 120, Mason Fuller of Beloit at 126, Smith Center's Nathan Raby at 160, Jason Davian of Smith Center at 170, 182, Jake Kirkoff Kyle from Smith Center at 195. Luke Franklin from the Redmond finished in fourth place as well. So those are your top finishers from the J.R. Durham Invitational in Norton there on Saturday. So full results from both the Ellsworth and Norton wrestling tournaments can be found at nckssports.com. So that's a look at what happened as far as local sports were concerned this weekend. Winter sports are going to continue on this week as we have our high school wrestling locker room chats coming up tomorrow as we talk with head coaches of Beloit, Osborne, and Smith Center beginning around 5:10 to 5:15. And then tomorrow evening on Katy Country 94 and online at katycountry94.com, we have high school basketball with St. John's Tipton going to Osborne and Northern Plains League action as well. So that's coming up tomorrow on our station on right here on Katy Country 94 with high school hoops. And then the boys basketball team is playing Ellsworth tomorrow as well. And you can catch all the online video stream for that at nckssports.com. So that's what's happening here early week with high school sports on our stations. Again, all the local sports notes that you need can all be found at nckssports.com. So if you are looking at who your favorite team's playing here throughout this week, just go to the website. You can find all that information. Again, nckssports.com. Again, all the eight-man all-star selections are posted as well. So that's where you go for all the latest in local sports in North Central Kansas.
Hey, congratulations to all those individuals being selected for the eight-man all-star football games. Once again, those are a selection. Some kids may decide not to play or have conflicts, whatever the case may be, and then others may be selected. And we might have others that are added to that list down the line. Or we may not have a game. I mean, hopefully we will. I think we will, based on how things are going, but you never know. Congrats to all those that did well in wrestling as well over the weekend. First of all, I just want to thank everybody for the birthday wishes. For those that didn't give me any birthday wishes, you're dead to me. Thanks. and I'm moving on.
Happy birthday a day late. Yeah. I didn't text her. I text my dad a day late because I got a text from my buddy down the street here. Come to the garage and watch the last football game on Saturday. So, you know, it's in a big place like that. It's easy to social distance. I'm like, yeah, I'll come over and watch football with you. And then I was like, oh, yeah, forgot to text my dad or call him or anything.
Yeah. Well, I think some of us guys aren't as good at that probably. Yes. So my dad was holding on 37, and now I'm 45. I don't know how that works. But what's sad is I thought I was 43 this whole past year and thinking I was going to turn 44. And then I did the math, 2021 minus 76. I'm like, oh, crud, I'm 45. And then I woke up the other morning for my birthday, or yesterday morning, and my youngest says, happy 44th birthday, Dad. I'm like, I love you. You're my favorite. You're going to the top of the wheel for today. Now, tomorrow you could change everything. Yeah. And so then guess what? Later yesterday, this is a true story. So my youngest, he's 7, and he is ornery as heck. No, Dusty knows that.
Yeah.
And he, you know, I wake up, and the kids are already up. My wife will let me sleep in for my birthday. That was nice. I appreciate that. And so I got up, and the kids, my oldest had just woken up, and he was on the couch, and they all go, hey, happy birthday, Dad. And then my youngest comes up, happy 44th birthday, Dad. I'm like, I love you. You moved up on the wheel. That's great. Good job. So last night, I'm laying down with my youngest, and he always likes to goof around before going to sleep. And you try to get him to fall asleep, and of course he wants to goof around and this and that. And so we laugh, we tickle each other, whatever else. And so he's laying there, he goes, I'm going to just lay on top of you and go to sleep on top of you, Dad. I said, okay, so I'm laying on my back, and then he decides to lay on top of me like we're sardines. So he's laying on top of me with his back on top of my stomach, okay? And then all of a sudden, he rips a humongous one while he's laying on top of me. And I said, oh, my goodness gracious. And he just laughs hysterically. I said, on my birthday of all days, you do this to me? And he just keeps laughing and laughing. And I said, let me explain to you that you have now moved. You are now my third favorite son. I said, there is this one and this one and now the cat, and you're fourth now on this list after being number one earlier today by saying happy 44th birthday instead of 45th. So that's how quickly things can change in my household, the pecking order, no doubt about it. But, man, he was so proud of himself that he did that, just ripped one on Dad. I was like, why am I laying down with you again?
Oh, man.
Yeah, unbelievable. That's the excitement that happens in the Gershner household, let me tell you. So I guess, you know, 45, is that somebody, you have to help me because nobody called in to help me out. I asked people to, but they didn't because apparently they don't care that it was my birthday, and that's fine. Like I said, you're dead to me. So I'm joking. But what does 45 mean? Real briefly, 45, is 45 Like 40, when I turned 40, which was obviously 5 years ago, there was a big shindig get together, and that was a lot of fun. And then, you know, so many weeks or maybe in a few months later, I didn't have a midlife crisis, but it was like, oh my God, I'm 40. Like, it kind of sunk in. Like, that's a monumental thing. Like, mm-hmm. when I had the party and the celebration, and even for a while after that, I hadn't even thought I was 40. But then one day it kind of hit me. It's like, oh my Lord, I am 40. Yesterday, no big deal. Maybe it'll hit me down the line. Oh my God, I'm 45 and I'm closer to 50 than 40 now. But is 45, what is 45? Like, is 45 middle age? For, is it being a pup? Like, I've old people older than me say, oh, you're a pup. I'm oh, like, yeah. do you really know that I'm 45? Do you think I'm 35? Because some days I feel like I'm 35. Some days I feel like I'm 55 probably because my back has gone out before. So there's days I feel great. I probably feel like I'm 29 or 30. But now that I'm 45, is it 45 is mid-40s and that's just the way it is now? Or is it now I just got to say I'm on the high side to the 50s? Or because at 44, I felt like I'm on the low side to the 40s. I could still round down. You know what I'm saying? 45, you round up. Mm-hmm. And so what is it? Is 45 just middle age? Is 45 old? Is 45 young? Like, people that are older than me tell me, oh, you're still a pup. Oh, that's no big deal. 40s are good. I'd love to be back in my 40s. And then my 14-year-old thinks anybody in their 30s is old, let alone 40, which is ancient. So what is it, Dusty? You're in your late 30s. Well, what is it, man? What do you think? 45, is that... Life expectancy is what? 78? So I got 33 years left if I'm lucky. So I'm well past the 50% mark. So I guess I probably put me older. But what is 45 considered by people? Is that, like, 50 seems to be a big milestone, and that mm-hmm. might hurt me when I hit that, God willing. 40 was a pretty big thing. When I hit 30, well, 21 was awesome. 30, 21 was awesome for a while, and then not so good. 30 wasn't any big deal to me. There are people I know that have turned 30, and they think it's a horrible thing. 30 didn't bother me at all. 40 kind of bothered me somewhat. 45, not bothered me so far. 50 probably will. But what is 45?
You're asking somebody that's 37.
I know. I want your opinion as a 37-year-old.
I can't answer the way you want me to answer.
Well, you can answer in which way you want to answer it.
Because I don't know. I don't consider 45 old by any stretch of the imagination because I'm almost, you know, yeah. I'm thinking in my mind, you know, I'm almost 40. So right, it's, you sure. know, I'm getting on, I'm, like you say, you're trending toward, right, you're closer to 40 than you are 30 for me, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Kind of the similar situation there. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know how to answer that, to be completely honest. It's not old. It's okay. I wouldn't even call it middle age, to be completely honest with you yet. Okay. I think once you hit 50 is where I usually would put like middle age, right?
Sweet. I got 5 years.
So you got 5 years.
Awesome.
Yeah, for me, I 30 was like just weird to me. It didn't mm-hmm. really bother me.
Right.
35 was where right. you start feeling like, yeah, I'm kind of getting up there a little bit, right. maybe.
You're 37. Do you feel like you're 37, or do you feel if you could pick out a number that you think you really are, like, what you really are 37, obviously.
Yeah.
But what age do you think you normally feel?
In my body or in my mind? Because my body feels like it's 50 most
okay,
days.
Okay, so
like,
that's one part. Okay, so body's 50.
That's part of what I just deal with my body.
What right? about mentally?
Mentally, a lot of times mentally I feel like I'm like in the 21 to 25 range. You okay. know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
like,
yeah. I really don't, but okay.
You just kind of like never really leave that part of it.
Yeah.
You always maybe. Feel like maybe in your mind that you're
Yeah.
Listen, you're younger than right. you really are, and you can do more things
yes.
than you really can,
and
right?
And you find out you can't, yes.
Yeah. And so I think in my mind I feel probably like now I'd probably say in the 25 to 30 range, yeah. right? But it's just not the case.
See, you're a single guy, that you don't have kids. I'm married. I have kids. So the 21 to 25 mental part went out the window once
yeah.
I had children, and I didn't physically have them myself. My wife did the hard work. So, but I felt 25 to 30 still. Once I had kids, 25 to 30 was good, which I actually did have. You know, I became a father when in my late 20s, whatever it was. For me, I feel like physically there are days where I feel like I'm right around 30. And there are days where I feel like I'm 55. And I think people can relate to that, perhaps. When you roll out of bed, you're like, oh, my God, why am I so stiff? Why is my knee bothering me? Why am I aching? Colder weather obviously doesn't help, and mm-hmm. I think people can relate to that. And so, like, when I play with the kids, or especially my youngest, you know, we wrestle around, and he wants a piggyback ride. You know, seriously, a day later, I feel like something – my back. I can just tell it. I aggravated something. If I go running, I used to run and play football against my kids all the time. I would sprint. I would try sometimes, you know, run hard and then chase after him and all that, you know. And it wasn't a problem when my oldest son, when I was doing that with him, when he was 5, 6, 7, 8 years of age. Now my youngest is 7, and you know what? I can't do it as much because I feel, I just know the pounding. I can just tell it jars my back when I'm running and everything else. I know I'm sounding like I'm 45, right? So I know I can't do that as much. I played pickup ball till I think I was 37 or 38. And then one time, a couple times I went up to go get a rebound, and one, I don't have much of a vertical anyway. But when I tried to jump, I felt this little like, oh my gosh, I felt this major like tweak in my knee. And I thought, oh God, that's it. There's two signs. I'm like, I'm done. I'm like, I love to play. Mm. I love to play, but I can't keep up with the younger guys that keep coming up there. And I wasn't really one of those guys that, you know, first of all, I realized it wasn't professional basketball when I was playing pickup ball, like some of these older guys that think they were, you know, the cat's meow. Like I was a good player in high school, but when I got, you know, the 30, about 37, 38, I hung it up. Because I just knew that there'd be a time I blow out my knee. I don't want to blow out my knee.
No.
I know people that have blown out their knees when they've been in their 30s, and I sure wasn't going to do it. And hopefully I don't do that when I'm 40 or 50 or whatever it is. But my point is, I realized my limitations. Mm-hmm. And at that point, when I quit playing pickup basketball, like I can't even play one-on-one against my oldest hardly anymore. Because when I do and I really try, I mean, I feel it, especially in my knees the next day.
Yeah.
So I'm an old fuddy-duddy, apparently, from that standpoint. And it's unfortunate because I want to play and give him a hard time one-on-one, but he's getting where he's good enough that where he's, you know, could I beat him one-on-one? Yes, I can. Will I pay for it big time physically? Yes. And he won't. And that's the beauty of it. You know, he's 14 and I'm 45. So as you get older, you got to know your limitations. And so there are days where I feel like physically, oh, I'm good. Like I can do stuff at the wellness center. I can do elliptical. I can do bike. I can lift. Lifting's not a problem. Lifting really doesn't bother me and hurt me unless I do it the wrong way. I could ride a bike. I can ride a bike around the neighborhood. I can go around town with my youngest. That doesn't bother me. So when I do all that, I feel like I'm 30 to 35, you know? But then when I go running after my kids or, you know, wrestling on the floor in the living room or give them a piggyback rides, and the next day I don't feel so great physically, then I'm like, yeah, now I feel like I'm 55 or 60. Mentally, I feel like I'm in my 30s. But physically, it just depends on the day and what I do.
Yeah.
And the point being is that, like, I've realized, too, that at the wellness center I do certain things that there's certain, even some certain lifting things that I realize, oh, yeah, I remember I wasn't supposed to do that anymore because I remember it causes me to have a bit of a problem physically for a few days. Yeah, I'm staying away from that. Now I know what works, you know? And then once I get older, there'll be something else I'll learn. Oh, yeah, now that one's causing problems for me. And as the people that are older than me have told me, oh, just wait till you get older. Well, here we are. 45, baby. 45. Closer to 50 now. So you're telling me I got 5 years left until I'm middle age.
On an average, that's kind of the way I look at it.
I'm good with that. Some people may tell me otherwise, but I'm going to go with that. So I've got I've got like 1,700 days until 1,700 days. I've got 150 weekends. No, more than that. 250 weekends before I hit the 50. Good to know. Good to know. All right. Good to know that the Chiefs know who they're going to play, and it is the Cleveland Browns, just like we predicted.
And they start with a horrible snap all the way back to the 2-yard line, and the Browns bounce it into the end zone where they wind up with a touchdown. Of all crazy things, you don't go to the playoffs for 18 years, and that is the way it starts in the first 14 seconds.
Browns get their first playoff win since 1994. They snap a 17-game losing streak in Pittsburgh. What a crazy way to start. The snap over the head of Ben Roethlisberger, 7-0, and a pick by Big Ben. And the Browns led 14-0 and 21-0 and 28-0 after a Kareem Hunt touchdown, and that was all in the first quarter. You kind of had a feeling the Steelers are going to make a run of some kind. They did, but the Browns still won 48-37. And, you know, there was a part of me the last week making predictions like this would be a great story if the Browns, you know, without their head coach and being shorthanded. But the biggest thing got me not to go with the Browns was Pittsburgh rested a few of their stars a week before. The Browns had just beat the Steelers. And so I just thought the Steelers would find a way to win and then get bounced by the Bills. I was pulling big time for the Browns and Baker Mayfield. Mm-hmm. I like the Browns. I like the way they play. I like, you know, I really would love to see Kareem Hunt still a Chief. I said that I understand why he isn't. I don't say I want him back because of the off-the-field issues he's had. The Chiefs are just fine. They won a Super Bowl without him. But I remember when Kareem Hunt was basically kicked off the team after what happened. And I thought the Chiefs did the right thing. That as a football selfish person, as you can be as a Chiefs fan or any football fan, you immediately go, wow, dude, that guy, and I saw him in person that year on a Sunday night NFL game, just hurdle a Bengal defender and run over guys. And it's like, and there are times where they didn't use Hunt enough, to be quite honest with you. And I'm just like, oh, my goodness, that just killed our chance to win a Super Bowl. And then the Chiefs were a coin flip away from making a Super Bowl without Kareem Hunt. Damien Williams stepped up and did a great job. Would the Chiefs love to have Kareem Hunt right now? Oh, yeah. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
On the field.
Yeah.
But would it be a problem in the locker room? You know, would it have been a problem? You know, would he be on the team now because the Chiefs would have to work out something with regard to a contract for him now if he was still with the Chiefs? And with an extension or whatever. And based on he had a red flag or two coming out of college when he was a third-round draft pick out of Toledo, there are things that people don't know that the Chiefs knew when they drafted him and knew some things that he had done that had gotten to the point where he got and then got kicked off the team basically and let go. So they probably weren't going to give him a big-time deal anyway.
No.
A lot of people, I think, lose track and don't understand that. So even if Kareem Hunt stayed in Kansas City, he might not be here now anyway. Based on contract situations, who knows? Or they would have maybe traded him. We don't know how it would have played out. Would he have been a model citizen, or would he gotten into more trouble, you know, a year later and then caused a distraction? The Chiefs wouldn't have won the Super Bowl last year. We'll never know. But when you see what he did last night, you know, breaking tackles, physical, catching the ball out of the backfield, you do say, wow, that's a bigger, more physical version of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. That's how I see it.
Yeah.
And so I am thrilled that the Browns won. We'll go through the playoff games from over the weekend. I love the matchup for the Chiefs. Chiefs fans, I was talking to my oldest about this yesterday, and this is how Chiefs fans are. And I understand where you come from, except you forgot the Chiefs have won the Super Bowl. Because this is how it was every year, and I was one of those people. Every year, who are we going to choke to in the playoffs?
Yeah.
You know, because the last playoff game the Chiefs lost before in the Mahomes era was the Titans, who they were better on paper, should have won, up 21 at halftime. Kelsey got concussed, and then all of a sudden, Alex Smith couldn't do anything offensively after looking like the greatest quarterback ever in the first half at Arrowhead. Titans ran the ball down the Chiefs' throat. Derrick Henry had a big game. Marcus Mariota, of all people, beat the Chiefs. And you knew at that point that it was over. And if Mahomes would have played in that game, believe it or not, came off the bench, I'm still convinced they would have won that game. Then they would have lost probably, you know, to New England, because I don't think Mahomes would have been ready for that. Plus, I think Reed would have gone back to Alex Smith had he put Mahomes in just to save the day. So perhaps that's best that the Chiefs didn't do that, and he had a clean slate, you know, one start against Denver in 17, and then 18 he took over and had the keys to the Lamborghini and has run the program ever since. And it's worked out pretty well, I would say, for the Chiefs. But when I look at the Chiefs after that loss to the Titans and then going into 2018 when the Chiefs were playing the Colts, I was scared to death of the Colts. Colts had always beaten the Chiefs in the playoffs, left and right. You know, they always found a way. There was the no-punt game. There was the 38-10 blown lead in Indianapolis for the Chiefs. There's the Lynn Elliott game where he couldn't make a field goal against the Colts. I mean, at any time the Chiefs play the Colts, you're like, oh, God, that's over. It's it. And we're done. But then somebody named Patrick Mahomes was a quarterback of that divisional game against the Colts, and the Chiefs won that game. And next thing you know, it's like, you know what? I feel better about things. I think the curse has been lifted. And then we saw what the Chiefs did last year, and it looked like the curse had been reinvented, right? Down 24-0 against the Texans. Alex Smith, game over. Not with Patrick Mahomes. Came back, won by double digits, came back to lead at halftime. Then, of course, down double digits, beat the Titans, double digits, beat the Niners. We know what happened. But here's the thing. Some Chiefs fans are still stuck in 2017, is my point. You're stuck in the thinking of, every team we're going to play, I'm going to freak out about it. Like yesterday, and I knew this was coming. I mean, we talked about it, you and me, on the show. And I know Chiefs fans out there listening have heard us break down, like, who we are most concerned about. Like, Dustin and I both thought the Colts would be a tough matchup. Not a bad matchup, a tough matchup. I thought after that, I think the Ravens maybe would be the team that worried me more after that. My son, my oldest, has said since he watched Cleveland middle of the year, he thought Cleveland, man, he goes, if Cleveland plays the Chiefs, that's a bad matchup for the Chiefs. And I said, I can see where you're coming from, but I'm not sold on the Browns yet. Now they go out and they just absolutely blitz the Steelers and crush them. And, of course, what's the first thing? Well, first of all, the Ravens beat the Titans yesterday. Mm-hmm. And trust me, there are Chiefs fans worried about the Titan-Raven winner was going to be in Kansas City, and both teams scared Chiefs fans. Well, we beat the Titans in the playoffs last year, for crying out loud. Oh, the Ravens scare me. They run the ball. We've beaten them three straight times. What are you so scared of? And then, as soon as the Browns are up 28-0, you know what was all over Twitter? Oh, my God, it's a horrible matchup. We can't stop the run. Hunt's going to kill us. We should have still had him on our team. I really wish Hunt was on our team. Oh, my gosh, that defense, they got Myles Garrett. What are we? This, you know, I think I'd rather play the Ravens instead of the Browns after earlier in the day going, oh, how are we going to stop Lamar? Ravens defense is really good. And I'm just like, shut up. Do you understand that the Chiefs are the best team in football? You are a fan of the defending Super Bowl champion Kansas City Chiefs, and yet you're freaking out because you're going to have to play the Ravens or the Browns or the Titans at home? Why? And I put it on social media, and I tagged Dusty and others that I know, and I said, this is ridiculous. I said, first of all, I would rather play the Browns than the Ravens. Am I scared of the Ravens? No. I think the Chiefs will beat the Ravens at home. I think the Chiefs would beat the Titans at home. I think the Chiefs would beat the Browns at home. And everybody gets all caught up, and this is what happens all the time. And some of the national media does too. Well, the way you beat the Chiefs is you run the ball a lot, and Mahomes is on the sideline, and that's the way you beat the Chiefs. Time of possession, blah, blah, blah. The last three times the Ravens have played the Chiefs, the previous two, this year I don't remember, the Chiefs, of course, blew out the Ravens this time, earlier this year. Yeah. It was over. They took the foot off the gas, got a little bit interesting, flipped the switch, took care of them easily. The last two times at Arrowhead, the Ravens have run for 200 yards in each game, and they've lost. The rushing statistics are now overrated because the league isn't about running the football. It isn't. The league is not about running the football. Is it good to run the football? Yes. Does it help you win? Yes. But the Chiefs have proven, along with the Buffalo Bills, who don't run the football very much at all except for their quarterback, all right? And the Colts ran the ball well. The Colts can run the ball, right?
Mm-hmm.
The Bills can't run the ball. Who won the game? The Bills. And the Colts should have. The Colts made all kinds of mistakes in that game. And then the Ravens. Well, the Ravens ran for 200 against the Chiefs two straight times. Lost both games. One wasn't even close. I mean, the Chiefs were double-digit lead the whole game, and then at the very end had to get a third down conversion to ice it when they're up five. The Ravens never had the ball with a chance to take the lead, which in NFL means you've won considerably by significant margin. So we're freaking out about, well, how are we going to stop Chubb and Hunt? And I'm sitting here and I'm like, oh my Lord, people. First of all, let's stop for a second and think about this. How are the Browns going to defend the Chiefs offense?
Yeah.
How are the Ravens going to defend the Chiefs offense? How are the Titans going to? You know, the Titans didn't defend the Chiefs offense very well last year in either game. The Ravens didn't defend the Chiefs offense at all in the first half in Baltimore this year. The Browns haven't even seen an offense even close to as good as the Chiefs all year long. So before you freak out about playing against the Cleveland Browns, let me bust down some facts for you. The Cleveland Browns, the best offenses they've played this year, the Tennessee Titans and the Baltimore Ravens. They gave up 35 to the Titans. They gave up 38 and 47 respectively to the Ravens, who don't even throw the ball that much. And they've given up 30 and 34 to the Cincinnati Bengals. And last night, they gave up 500 yards passing and 37 points in a game where they were plus five in the turnover margin and still had to sweat it at the end.
Yeah.
And you're freaking out because the Chiefs got to defend Kareem Hunt? It's amazing to me how fans do this, and I'm sure the Chiefs fans aren't the only ones. But did they ever stop to think that the other team has problems against us? No. They always worry about, well, God, what are we going to do against Hunt and Chubb? Those guys are good. Last year, oh, God, don't want to face the Titans because we got to play Derrick Henry, and the Titans beat us earlier in the year. Yeah, the Titans beat you earlier last year because Mahomes was hobbled with an ankle injury, his first game back from the dislocated kneecap, and you had a botched field goal attempt, and you had a boneheaded coaching decision on third down, and you still almost, and then you had a blocked field goal at the end of the game that would have tied it. You should have won the game. And people freaking out. Like, dude, you outplayed the Titans. All you gotta do is clean it up, you'll be fine. And that was it. They were fine. They cleaned it up and they took care of it. All right? They did the same thing in the Texans game, down 24-0. They cleaned it up. They took care of it. Oh, well, I'm worried about the Texans. They beat us in the regular season. Yeah, whatever. Down 24-0. They recovered. They figured it out. I know that's not ideal, being down 24-0. The point is, the Chiefs have the best coaching staff left in the AFC. All right? They have the best head coach left. They have the best offensive coordinator. They have the best quarterback. They have the best offense. Yes, they don't have probably the best defense that's remaining. You can't have everything. The Cleveland Browns, did you watch their secondary last night? It was brutal.
Oh, it's no. There's not a whole lot that was good about their defense other than when the Steelers were making mistakes.
Do you
right?
think Patrick Mahomes is going to go out and throw four interceptions Sunday afternoon against Cleveland Arrowhead?
I'm going to put a pretty good bet out there that this first snap's not going to go over his head either.
Yeah, I agree with you. So, and also, I believe the Chiefs will actually establish or at least run the ball a little bit more than the Steelers did. Granted, the Steelers got down big, but the Steelers, the team, don't run the ball much. They threw the ball 68 times last night, okay? Roethlisberger got 500 yards. That's why stats are misleading. He threw for 500 yards, and they lost by 11. It's also misleading to sit here and say that the Browns' defense is, they did a good job. They gave up 500 yards and 37 points and didn't force it. They got the five turnovers. That's what saved them. I mean, it's amazing to me that Pittsburgh was -5 in the turnover category.
Yeah.
And the Browns still had to score with 3.5 minutes to go to seal it.
0 points in an entire quarter. They scored 37 points in three quarters.
They scored 37 points in three quarters. So if the Steelers do that, what do you think the Chiefs are going to do? And plus the games at Arrowhead on top of that, and 16,000 fans, and the Steelers had 2,500. And the Chiefs may have rust. I get it. They might start out slow. You know what? Chubb and Hunt may have a big first quarter, and the Browns might be up 14-0. Are you going to freak out? You shouldn't. Because the Chiefs will be fine.
Yeah.
I'm not, maybe they will lose the Browns. I'm not saying they can't. But all this freaking out, it didn't matter if the Chiefs played the Jets. Seriously. If the Jets somehow made the playoffs 7-9 and then got the Arrowhead, there'd be Chiefs fans worried about Sam Darnold. Just how Chiefs fans are. They're worrywarts. And you know what? I get it. The Chiefs history makes you think that. But here's the thing you got to understand. Since the Mahomes era, the Chiefs have lost one playoff game.
Yeah.
And that was because they didn't get the ball in overtime. If D Ford didn't jump off sides, Mahomes would be undefeated in the playoffs. And you're at home, which helps, I think, even though you don't have, 80,000 people that are going to be there. This is one of those situations where Chiefs fans are stuck in the past and haven't moved forward to the present, which is you don't have Matt Castle, Alex Smith, and Trent Green at quarterback anymore. And granted, those guys weren't bad, horrible quarterbacks. You have a better defense than the defense back in 2018 when you still almost made the Super Bowl because you had Patrick Mahomes. You've got Kelce. You've got Hill. You might have Hilaire back. Bell can do some things. You've got Sammy Watkins. You've got Mecole Hardman make plays. I mean, the Browns haven't seen any kind of offense close to what the Chiefs have presented, and I'm actually excited the Chiefs are going to play somebody they haven't played this season because I think – everybody worries about, the Chiefs haven't seen this team. How are they going to deal with it? You know what? It's going to be a challenge. So be it. It should be. It's the playoffs, for crying out loud. But you don't think the Browns have more problems to deal with? I mean, if I'm the Chiefs, why am I so worried about the Browns? Why am I sweating the Browns? I'm happy the Chiefs are playing the Browns because, one, the Browns, first of all, I think can get fat and happy they just beat the Steelers. Mm-hmm. Second of all, they're going to they're going to relax a little bit because, we got our head coach back and we're getting some guys back from COVID. And then I hear, Wade, Denzel Ward didn't play last night. He's our top corner. Do you know when Denzel Ward plays this year, the Browns were 21st against the pass, even with him? So, and if Terrence Mitchell's one of their starting corners, a former Chief, you're in good shape because who the heck's going to defend Tyreek Hill? Who's going to defend Travis Kelce? And by the way, the Browns they got Myles Garrett, and you sit here and you go, their front four. I keep hearing the Browns' front four is so good. And maybe they'll prove me wrong coming up on Sunday. They weren't good yesterday. Like, they didn't get pressure on the quarterback. Myles Garrett doesn't get to the quarterback that much. I mean, the Chiefs are going to go up against a team that doesn't get a pass rush. And it's a team that doesn't defend. The secondary is not very good. And if they blitz, they're going to get ripped to shreds. So to me, this is the ideal matchup. You got a team that's feeling good about themselves. And yeah, they're confident. You're going to get a confident team no matter what, coming off a win. When you get a bye and the team comes in after a win in the wild card weekend, you're going to get a team that's going to feel good and confident. But the Browns, I don't want to say they're satisfied, because I don't think they are. I think Baker's a good leader on the team, and they're like, they want to keep going, and they're going to play with house money, and they're going to play loose, and the pressure will be on the Chiefs if they fall behind. And I get it. The pressure's on the Chiefs. The pressure was on the Chiefs last year, and they came through. And they've raised their level of play against the better teams all year long, and they've lowered it against the teams that they're better than. And they're gonna be playing at their best, I think, or they're gonna have to, obviously, to win. But when they play at their best, they're the best team in the National Football League. They are. When Mahomes plays like he's capable of playing, he's the best quarterback in the league. Kelsey's the best tight end. Hill's one of the best receivers. The offensive line should be healthier, not so banged up going into this game. Plus, the Browns had all kinds of injuries, the right tackle with a hamstring, another guy that may or may not be back because of COVID. Listen, they're going to have to scramble to go into Kansas City. To me, this is the ideal matchup for the Chiefs. You're going to face a team that doesn't get a pass rush very much. You're going to face a secondary that isn't that great. And the only thing you got to really be scared about, I guess, is that the Browns can run the ball quite a bit. The Browns don't have a blazing wide receiver. There is no Odell Beckham Jr., so I don't have to worry about the speed option, which you would have with the Titans with A.J. Brown, and you would down the line with the Bills with John Brown or Marquise Brown with the Ravens. The Browns don't even have that. I mean, the Browns have good tight ends. They've got Jarvis Landry, a good receiver, but they don't have a blazer that's going to stretch the field necessarily. So I just think they have a good offensive line when they're healthy. That could be a problem. I get all that. So we heard the same thing about the Titans last year. We heard the same thing about, you know, Houston's got dynamic quarterback Deshaun Watson, and the Chiefs took care of that. The 49ers had this great front four and great defense, and for three quarters it did its job against the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, and the Chiefs found a way to win. I'm just not overly concerned about this game as everybody else is. I'm tickled to death the Browns won. I'm thrilled the Chiefs are going to face somebody different, and I think it's a really, really good matchup for the Chiefs. Now watch, the Chiefs will go out and lose, and I'll be proven wrong. But I'd rather play the Browns than the Ravens. I'd rather play the Browns than I'd rather play, actually, as long as I played the Steelers or the Browns, that's the matchup I wanted.
100%.
I'd rather play the Browns than the Colts. So, and I know you may say, well, Baker Mayfield's better than Phillip Rivers right now. True, but I think the Colts' defense is better than the Browns' defense. And the reason I wasn't sweating the Titans was the Titans' defense isn't that good. And by the way, if you're sweating the Ravens, the Ravens, Lamar Jackson, and no, they can run the ball. You know how many points the Ravens scored yesterday? 20. You think they're going to hold the Chiefs to 13 in the AFC title game? No. So they're going to have to. So you can put up all the stats you want. If you can't, the bottom line stat is points. And if you can't score 30 or more against the Chiefs, you're not going to beat them. Now, I will say this. The Browns are capable of scoring 30 or more. I think there's going to be a boat race. I think the over-under on yardage could be 1,000. I think the over-under on the points could be 70. But when teams get in boat races with the Chiefs, with Patrick Mahomes now, with the defense is better than it was in 18. You know, we know the Rams won a boat race against the Chiefs. The Chiefs lost some boat races in 18. But I don't think they do now. I just don't think they do now. And they've been there, done that, their experience in the playoffs. The Browns haven't been this far. That helps a little bit, too. They'll be fresher. They won't be as banged up. That's the beauty of the bye. I just think it's a great matchup for the Chiefs. You agree?
Yeah, and like you said, you'll go through all the other games. But, listen, everything that happened in the AFC playoffs for me as a Chiefs fan went perfect this weekend.
I agree.
You knocked out – okay, so it sounds crazy to say that, right, because the Bills are the number two seed and they're playing really good football right now. But what happened was this weekend was two teams that concerned me the most with – and I think people get caught up in the whole, okay, they can run the football. What really matters against the Chiefs is if you can run the football – and take time off the clock while you're doing it to limit the amount of opportunities that Patrick Mahomes gets, right?
See, and that part doesn't even worry me either. I'm more worried about a pass rush. That's the problem that the Chiefs have had the last four games is that Mahomes hasn't had as much time to throw.
Yeah.
His numbers are not nearly as good the last 4 weeks. I'm more concerned about a team that can run the ball and has a pass rush.
That too. And so you're talking about teams that have that.
The Browns don't have those.
No. But for me, when you get into the postseason, that does get magnified, I feel like, a little bit, is you need – You want to have as many possessions as you can, right? And so if the Colts are having, like, they had one possession where they just milked the clock way down and basically used a lot of the third quarter.
But
right?
Held to a field goal.
They were. And that's the key, too, is, like, you got to hold them out of the end zone. They got to get points at the end of those. But those kind of games, those kind of teams concern me a little bit more as you get deeper into the playoffs. What I'm saying that is when you go to, like, the Ravens, right? Okay, they can run the ball, but they still have big play capability where they score fast sometimes,
Lamar
right?
Lamar Jackson running
exactly,
the ball.
Exactly, like you saw a couple times. You know, like he gets freed, he gets out, he's gone for the touchdown. Ball goes right back to your offense, right? The Browns have good running game, but big play capability with Jarvis Landry, with Baker Mayfield being able to make moves on with his feet, right?
Well, and Chubb's a home run hitter. Yeah, we saw
and
that
Hunt can be too if you need him to be.
Yeah, no, they got the fire.
So for me, that's what I'm saying is like you're playing teams right here that have big play capability that can score quick. You get the ball right back, and they can't stop you, right?
Right.
And so those are the teams that get knocked out. The Titans have that capability of being able to run the football and really manage the game too. And I think in the playoffs, I want more opportunities for Mahomes to be on the field, basically, is what I'm saying. And if you can get that, there's not a team I am concerned even a little bit about.
I guess I differ with you a little bit because I see teams trying to do that. I mean, what team accomplished that this year? What team ran the ball? I mean, there were teams that ran the ball in the Chiefs, and they had time of possession, and the only team that really pulled it off were the Raiders. You know why they pulled it off? Because Mahomes was running for his life because the Raiders got pressure with the front four.
Yeah.
To me, that's the bigger concern. I think Chiefs fans missed the boat.
100%.
I think Chiefs fans missed the boat. That what you really need to worry about is not a team that's going to run the ball down your throat. I mean, you got to worry about a team that's going to run the ball down your throat and then score touchdowns. But teams don't do that against the Chiefs, typically. They just don't. They settle for field goals. Eventually, they maybe pass the ball when they shouldn't. They don't stick to just running the ball. I think that's one of the problems that teams have is they don't run the ball as much as they should, even when they're running the ball effectively. But you're not going to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs kicking field goals. You're just not going to.
No.
So what you have to do to beat the Chiefs is, well, first of all, you've got to get pressure on Mahomes without blitzing. That's number one, because that's how the Chiefs lost to the Raiders the first time. And I know the Raiders ran the ball effectively, but, you know, the Raiders really killed the Chiefs with long passes in that game.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing, though, that everybody talked about was Mahomes was under pressure all day long. He was hit. He was knocked down. Well, look what the Chiefs offense did against the Niners in three quarters in the Super Bowl. They couldn't do much.
Mm-hmm.
So we obviously know the great equalizer of Mahomes is actually more so when he's on the field is when you can get a front four to pressure you. And the Chargers are able to do that. They did that early in the year. That's the team that I'm more worried about a team that has a really good front four that can get pressure without blitzing than I am a team that can run the ball and keep Mahomes on the sidelines and play ball control. Because the Ravens can do that all night long and still only score 20 points. And the Colts can do that and settle for field goals. And the Browns can do that. And the Browns, I think, are one team that can maybe keep pace with the Chiefs in regards to points for a while. But the Steelers, I don't think, could have. Although they have a decent offense, although they struggle late in the year. The Titans, you know, maybe we're more equipped to do that. But look at the teams the Chiefs have played the last couple of years, last year and this year, and who's got this great running attack that the Chiefs have lost to? You can't even name one.
No.
You know why? Because it doesn't work. You know, people keep thinking it works, but it doesn't. It keeps you in the game, but it doesn't. All you have to do is look at last year in the AFC title game. The Titans were up 10-0. Mm-hmm. The game should have been over, right? Well, we can't stop the run. I mean, clearly we had to have lost that game, Dusty, because the Titans are going to run it down our throat with Derrick Henry. And guess what? The Chiefs are down 10-0. They stopped Derrick Henry.
Yeah.
He had 62 yards, and the Chiefs won the game and came back. So it isn't – and forget about the stats during the regular season about how bad the Chiefs are against the run or yards per carry. The bottom line is this. If the Browns want to go up and down the field, the Chiefs will let them go up and down the field and get their 60, 70 yards. And if Cody Parkey's kicking field goals, the Chiefs are going to win this game easily. That's the bottom line. The Chiefs' defense is going to bend. It's going to bend. Most defenses do bend.
Yeah.
And you can give up all the numbers you want. I mean, for crying out loud, Cleveland yesterday, you know, they had a big lead, so they could bend quite a bit. They had some flexibility. They gave up 500 yards passing and still won, okay? So you can give up yards and still win. It's about points. It's it. That's it. It's about points. So the Ravens can go out and run the ball 200 yards against the Chiefs back-to-back games and can't crack 30 points in the game. That's the key number. You got to score 30. I don't think you're going to beat the Chiefs in the playoffs scoring less than 30. Now, I think in the regular season, you had a chance because the Chiefs play their level of competition. But look at the two. You don't count the last loss because they had all their scrubs in. The only loss they had was a team that scored 40 on them. And what did that team do well? That game. All kinds of pressure on Mahomes. The offensive line was a mess that day.
Yes.
They ran the ball effectively, which set up the play action and the deep passes. But without that front four rush, the Chiefs would have won that game despite the Raiders running the ball. So to me, that's the bigger issue, is can you get pressure on Mahomes without blitzing? Because we know what happens when you blitz. You're going to get torched. So you have to get pressure front four. The Browns don't do that. The Browns don't do that. The Bills, I don't think, do that. The Ravens can. The Ravens at times can. So that would be the probably that's the team left in the playoffs the Chiefs maybe could be more concerned about, even though they've owned them the last couple years, is that they can run the ball and they got the quarterback running game that is very unique.
Yeah.
Although the Chiefs have done a pretty good job against Lamar the last couple times. Dobbins is a probably improvement over Ingram, and they've got their front four is healthy again. They could cause some problems. But the Browns don't scare me at all defensively. And on top of that, if they can't get a pass rush with four and they can't cover and then they blitz. I mean, I don't see how the Chiefs lose this game unless Mahomes gets hurt or you get a couple of tip balls in this game. I think the Chiefs could have a couple turnovers still win this game, to be quite honest with you. I don't think the Browns are going to be able to just run the ball with Chubb and Hunt and win this game. I don't think that's going to be the recipe at all. They might run for each for 100 yards. You can't convince me that's going to beat the Chiefs.
Yeah. I don't know. I had a guy, my buddy asked me before the playoffs even started, right when the season ended that Sunday, who do we want to play next week? And the Browns were at the top of my list.
There you are.
I absolutely did not say the Steelers because it wasn't possible.
Yeah, right.
Now, the Steelers would be second.
Yeah.
But the Browns were at the top of my list. I said, I want to play the Browns.
Yeah.
If we're talking about matchups, we're talking about everything that's involved, absolutely. I want to play the Browns.
And here we are.
And I don't know why anybody would be complaining about that or scared of that. This is a team that, listen, they see the Steelers. This is the third time, right?
Right.
So, and that's a big rivalry. I mean, Cleveland and Pittsburgh are pretty close.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's a huge rivalry. And I'm like, I am not even a little bit worried about whatever happened yesterday. In fact, I feel better about what happened yesterday about the Browns coming into Kansas City because they're all fat and happy, feeling real, real good about themselves.
Yes, they are.
Getting up 28-0 and really not having to do a whole lot to get up 28-0 that they really forced themselves, right? Okay, they scored 20 points the rest of the way in three quarters and gave up 37. That's not a recipe to beat the Chiefs.
No.
Not even a little bit.
And the other thing is when Chiefs fans are on social media and Chiefs Kingdom freaking about the Browns up 28-0 looking so good, they were playing a team that lost four out of the last five games. Yeah. They lost to Washington at home. I mean, they lost to the Bengals.
All five of their last games.
Yeah, they should have lost to the Colts. They lost to the Bengals, for crying out loud, with a guy you don't even remember as the quarterback. So, that's the other thing that Chiefs fans lost track of yesterday. Oh, my God, just unbelievable what the Browns. First of all, that was a train wreck. That was a snowball effect that happened to the Chiefs in the first half last year against the Texans. It was very similar. Everything that could go against the Chiefs in the first quarter last year against Houston happened. Everything that could go in favor of the Texans happened. The difference was the Steelers couldn't come all the way back.
Yeah.
The Chiefs were. The Steelers nearly did. If they didn't give up that long screen pass to Chubb, who knows how that game goes. And the Browns, you know, had some questionable decision-making. You know, I don't know about some of the play calling. You know, being aggressive to throw the ball, I get it. But when you throw three incompletions and only take about 30 seconds off the clock, that's not ideal. Against the Chiefs, you're probably going to have to keep doing that. Don't get me wrong, because the Chiefs, you're going to have to outscore them. You're not going to hold them down. So I was just sitting here and going, you do know the Steelers are maybe the worst team in the AFC playoffs right now, right?
Yeah.
Because I think we talked about it the last 3 weeks, that there's six teams we thought were better than the Steelers. We thought the Colts were better, too, and somehow the Colts found a way to blow a 17-point lead.
Yeah.
Or the Colts would still be in the playoffs, probably, because they would have had a home game yesterday. But the Steelers, you got to understand who they're playing, too, you know? And Chiefs fans, they're just worry warts. And I understand the history allows you to worry, but you also got to understand what just happened last year.
Listen,
who your quarterback is now.
Yeah.
And you don't have Bob Sutton, a defensive coordinator anymore either. I know your defense isn't great. And I do think Chris Jones is going to pick it up. I do think Frank Clark's going to pick it up. At least I'm hoping so. And I know they're going to go against a good offensive line. Hitchens will be back. That'll be big. The Chiefs secondary this year's played fairly well, to be quite honest with you. So I'm just not – the Browns having two different running backs, that is a challenge compared to just a Derrick Henry where you know what he is, you know, every time he's going to get the ball. But I agree with you. It was a great day for the Chiefs because – Derrick Henry's out. If you freak out about Derrick Henry, you don't have to worry about him anymore. The Ravens are going to go get beat up by the Bills, and if the Ravens come out of that one, they're still going to be banged up. That's going to be a physical game. The Bills didn't look like they should have lost to the Colts, to be quite honest with you. They don't run the ball, so that's probably good because the Chiefs don't do great against the run, according to people. And so you don't have to face Lamar Jackson this next round. You face Cleveland, like you said, maybe fat and happy with a really bad defense. I think it was a great weekend for the Chiefs, and they didn't even play.
It went exactly how I would have wanted it to go going into it for me.
Right.
You know, some people might not agree with the way I look at things. Right. And like you said, you know, you have and obviously I agree with the whole, you know, front four getting pressured on Mahomes can slow that down, right?
Yeah.
And so I 100% agree on that side of it for sure. And so, but, you know, some other people might have different concerns that they're more worried about. I used to be one of those people until
Patrick Mahomes.
Until Mahomes. Until they went to the AFC Championship, and I realized it wasn't his fault they lost that game, right? Yep. And so, yeah, I don't worry quite as much as I used to about certain matchups.
And I feel better that I have Steve Spagnuolo as my defensive coordinator in these games as well. All right, so the AFC, the playoffs over the weekend, the Colts outgained. They were the first team in NFL history to not turn the ball over and have over 450 yards and lose. I mean, Phillip Rivers, you figured, would make a boneheaded play. He didn't.
Yeah.
And they should have won. The coach should have kicked the field goal, went for it. Although, technically, when he went for it, Phillip Rivers missed the pass. It was there, didn't execute it. So you're an idiot as a coach because your quarterback didn't make a good pass. And then they doinked the field goal and missed it. The Bills hit a 54-yard field goal. And, you know, the Bills, they had their chances in this game, and they didn't get it done. I don't know how in the world, at the late in that game, how that wasn't an overturn and that was a fumble and the game should have been over. I don't know how you can replay. Replay's broken when you can tell me that that was not a fumble. That game should have been over, and I'm glad the Bills won because that would have been a travesty if the Colts would have tied the game and won in overtime, because that game was over because the guy, he caught the pass for the Colts wide receiver. He got up, and then he was stripped and lost the ball. There is no, to me, there was nothing inconclusive about it. I couldn't believe that they allowed the Colts to have the ball. I think they just didn't want the game to end that way. That's what I believe, which is a crock. Because if it is what it is, you should call it no matter
this
what.
This is it.
So the Bills survive that one. They win. And maybe they're going to get better and more relaxed, kind of like the Chiefs did after the, you know, down 24-0 against the Texans last year. So the Bills, they're going to welcome the Ravens to town. The Ravens beat the Titans 20-13. They're down 10-0. You thought, oh, same old Ravens. And then the Titans' offense went completely bye-bye. And Derrick Henry couldn't get going, and Ryan Tannehill didn't play as well as I thought he would. And the Ravens' defense did do a good job, and Jackson made a couple of big plays with his legs. And the Ravens won. It was a really good, solid effort by the Ravens. But I'm not sweating the Ravens. I'm not overly impressed by what they did yesterday either. And then in the NFC, the Seahawks lost to the Rams. That was Dusty went 2-4 in his picks. I went 4-2. That was the one we both missed because I didn't think the Rams would beat the Seahawks, and I didn't know Jared Goff would even play, and he did with a broken thumb. And the Seahawks just don't match up with the Rams' defense at all. And so the Rams won 30-20. And then the Washington football team nearly – I mean, Taylor Heinicke played great. And the bummer, Alex Smith didn't get a play, but he played.
I definitely would have not picked Washington had I known Alex wasn't playing.
Right. But honestly, they might have been better off with Taylor Heinicke. Yeah. He played great. It's just that the Buccaneers had too many weapons, as we kind of talked about on Friday.
Yeah.
So the Bucs won 31-23. And then the Saints went over the Bears. And talk about a game – the Bears had all the chances in the world to make that a game. You had a great play call and a trick play, drop a pass in the end zone. Then you go for it and don't take the 49-yard field goal, which is not a gimme. So you come up with no points on that drive. Then you had a 3rd and 2 at the Saints 9, and you get a personal foul on one of your tight ends. So that makes you have to kick a field goal instead of, you know, having a 3rd and 2 and maybe you go score. I mean, the Bears had their chances. And they lost 21-9. The Saints didn't look great.
No.
But the Saints found a way to win. So here are the matchups for the next round of the playoffs. And, of course, the Browns 48-37 last night. Here are the matchups. It is the Rams at the Packers. Packers got the bye. That is at 3:35 Saturday afternoon. Saturday night, 7:15, it's the Ravens versus the Bills. And then at 2:05, I guess pregame's at 1 o'clock, I'm assuming, for the Chiefs. I haven't got an email on it.
Yeah.
No surprise. Browns at the Chiefs, 2:05. I'm guessing pregame 1 o'clock on Z96.3 Lake on Sunday. And then the Buccaneers at the Saints. That's a marquee game on Fox at 5:40 on Sunday. Right now, Rams-Packers. I'm taking Packers. I don't think the Rams have enough firepower. Mm-hmm. I know their defense is good. I think they'll give Rodgers some problems. Rams are banged up. And if Donald can't go 100%, that's a big loss for the Rams on defense. I'll take the Packers. You with me on that one?
Yeah.
I'll jump. The Browns, Chiefs, I got the Chiefs. They're, I think, a 9.5-point favorite already, something like that.
That's what it opened at, was 9.5.
Yeah. I like the Chiefs. I don't like them covering any spread this year. But I'll take the Chiefs to win there. I would imagine you agree.
Yes.
The Buccaneers and Saints, that one, I'm going to pick the Saints, even though they've already beaten the Bucs twice, and it's hard to beat a team three times. I know Brady and the Bucs will probably win this game because it'll make me sick, and I don't want Brady to keep winning. But As long as the Packers win, you've got Breeze or Brady going to Lambeau to play Rodgers.
Yeah.
So that's a great NFC title game, unless the Rams ruin it, which they might. I'm going to take the Saints in that one still.
Right now, I'm going to say that. I might change my mind by the end of the week.
Yeah, I might too. The toughest game for me to pick is the Raven-Bill game.
Yeah.
I'm really torn on that one. I'm leaning towards the Bills slightly, but the Ravens match up with the Bills. But I'll go Bills right now, but I may very well change my pick later.
Yeah, same.
Mm-hmm.
It is the toughest one for me to pick, for sure.
There's something part of my gut's telling me we're going to get Ravens-Chiefs AFC title game a year later than we expected.
Yeah.
I don't know. I do have that feeling at times, too. All right, the Chiefs are a 9.5-point favorite. Last time they met, it was in Cleveland 2018, and they won 37-21, and Kareem Hunt had a pretty good game that day going back to Ohio, and now he plays for the Browns. I love the guys that write for these national places because you can tell they follow the Chiefs really well. Cody Benjamin is a writer for CBS Sports, and he has a breakdown of all the divisional matchups. And in his story, he says the Chiefs are coming off a 15-1 season.
Okay.
Did you forget the last game of the year? I mean, most people would. I get it. But you might want to do your homework and get the record right.
The reason you forgot it is because they lost because nobody played.
Right. But you got the record wrong. That's kind of a big mistake. Wow. But whatever. That's pretty sad.
I don't even know how you do that.
You're a national writer. Yeah. You can't even get the number one NFC's record right. Okie dokie. National championship college football game is tonight. It is Ohio State and Alabama. Here's Nick Saban on the Buckeyes.
Very well coached. Ryan Day has done a great job there. They're one of the best defensive teams in the country in terms of points allowed, tough to run against, really explosive on offense, really good skilled players outside. They do a great job of running the ball and controlling the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. So very challenging game for us all the way around. But, you know, these are the kind of games, if you're a competitor, you really look forward to playing in. And this is a great opportunity for our players to compete against a great team.
I think this is the team that has the best chance to beat Alabama's Ohio State. That's just my personal opinion. Justin Fields is dynamic. He can run. He can throw. He's the X factor. Ryan Day, though, has to deal with – he's the head coach of Ohio State. Alabama's offense, they're averaging, what, 40-some points, 45 points a game this year. They've got Mac Jones, a good quarterback, a really good quarterback. They got the Heisman Trophy winner at wide receiver. Now they might get Jalen Waddle back, possibly. Holy cow.
Yeah.
And he's a first-round draft pick. And then Najee Harris, who's an outstanding running back. How do you deal with this explosive offense?
You got to take it one play at a time. And you never know how games like this are going to play out. They certainly have great weapons on offense. You know, the quarterback is tremendous. The offensive line is as good as I've seen. Running back, I mean, they're as talented in offense and play as clean as I've seen. You got to be on your game.
All right. Tonight, it is Alabama-Ohio State. And I'm looking at the odds here. It looks like it's an 8.5-point spread right now for Alabama, last I checked. And now I just pulled it up. Alabama's favored by 8.5. All right. Who you picking, Dusty?
Alabama?
I'm going to go different. I'm going to go Ohio State. I'm going to really pull for Ohio State only because I don't like Alabama a lot. And then Ryan Day, I think, is a cool dude. If it's Urban Meyer, I'd hope they both lose. But, by the way, Urban Meyer might go to the Jacksonville Jaguars. He might be their next head coach. Supposedly, he's assembling a staff. And so, it'll be interesting to see what happens with the game tonight in regards to what defense is going to play better. Because Ohio State's defense has been better this year than Alabama's, but Ohio State hasn't faced this explosive of an offense in Alabama. It's going to be a very interesting game. I think Ohio State can win. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say Justin Fields has a big game and Ohio State is going to win and be undefeated with the national championship having played just 8 games. And then people will be whining and there'll be a little bit of a controversy still is that, hey, you're 8-0. Hey, listen, you beat Clemson or Alabama back-to-back weeks. I don't care if you played 3 games or 13. You probably deserve to be the champs. So I'll go Ohio State winning. I went contrary last week and I picked them over Clemson. I'll stick with Ohio State. I'll stay on the Buckeye bandwagon. Even though I'm not a big fan of either one, but I'll cheer for Ryan Day. So I'm going, and I like Justin Fields. So, and I'm tired of Alabama winning all the time.
Yeah. I have no rooting interest. I don't want either teams to win this game.
Yeah.
Either one of the teams to win this game. I'm just picking Alabama because I think they just have too much.
Yeah, they might. And what are the odds Justin Fields is going to play that well again?
Yeah.
Probably not likely. Although I'll say Alabama's defense isn't that great. Turning to college basketball, we mentioned KU, the win over Oklahoma. We'll get Dusty's thoughts on K-State, and then he'll go around into the other room real quick. K-State's 5-8, 1-4. They play Oklahoma State on Saturday. They lose 70-54. The story of this one is that K-State had the minimum number of 8 players available, only 6 on scholarship. As injuries and unavailability continue to mount, point guard Nigel Peck, he was out. Montavious Murphy, of course, out. They've got some injuries. Then on top of that, they had some COVID issues. And so they had 2 walk-ons and 6 scholarship players. They only were able to dress 8 and had to play one of those scholarship walk-ons who actually outscored Kate Cunningham, which is crazy. But doesn't matter. K-State lost the game. Here's Bruce Weber on whether or not they should have even played the game.
The coaches voted for 8 players or wanted 8. I fought for 8. We were hoping to get 7. They made a decision about 6. So we had 6 scholarship guys available. Obviously, it's it makes it tough on you.
Just to be clear, if they'd have come to just you and said, Bruce, do you feel comfortable playing this game, rules or not, you'd have said, let's postpone it probably?
Yeah, I think I would have. Yes, okay. I thought it was, I thought for our circumstances, I would have not played it. I would have been all right with it. But again, you got to do what the league says. You got to do what the rules say.
Oklahoma State shot 75% for the field in the second half and then pulled away and beat K-State 70-54. What are your thoughts? I don't think they should have played either. I think that's just a tremendous disadvantage for K-State. I do understand the argument that, you know, if you start calling off these games when you have 6 or 7 or 8 guys available, even if there are a couple of walk-ons, we may not get them in, so we got to get them in no matter what. I do understand that to an extent. We're seeing this in the NBA, or Doc Rivers talked about the Sixers are down to 6 players. They had 2 guys that could suit, but they didn't really want to play them unless it was an emergency. And he says it's just the wear and tear on those players. Yeah. That hurts me in the NBA going down the line. He didn't think they should play. And then there was an NBA game yesterday that was postponed, the Celtics and the Heat, because of COVID-19 protocols, contact tracing, and quarantines. It's a very delicate matter. I don't know if there's a right or a wrong answer, but I mean, K-State's already up against it, and it's just like that. It seems like when it rains, it pours. We talk about snowball effect in football. What happened to the Steelers last night? I kind of feel like that happened to K-State on Saturday. I mean, they didn't have a fighter's chance.
No, they didn't, and I agree with that. There's things that I can say one way or the other whether I feel it's right to be going out there, but the bottom line is the Big 12 established these guidelines, right?
They are the rules.
Right, wrong, otherwise you got to go out there and play the game. Like, right. Do I feel like the game should have been played? Whatever, I don't know if I feel like it should have or not, but it should have based on the Big 12's rules that they established at the beginning of the season, right? So I can't fight that. I can't beat that because that's what's established, unless they're going to be like Big Ten football and change their rules.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Right? So, and like you said, K-State's been stacked up against it anyway.
Right.
I don't feel like this is not a game of make or break of what's going to happen with K-State basketball this season. So, and I think it might be crazy to kind of look at it that way, but if K-State was on the other side, right, they had 1 conference loss coming into this game and had 6 guys available as scholarship plays, I'd probably feel a lot different about it.
Mm-hmm.
But at this point of the season and what K-State's going through right now, I can't get, like, overly up in arms about having to play that game because I don't know if they even do much better with the 2 guys that could have played that didn't.
I can tell you right now, and I feel very confident when I say this, I don't think there's a coach in America that would want to play with 6 scholarship players.
No, they don't want to do it. Not at all.
Not a coach in America.
I am not at all saying that Bruce shouldn't be saying what he said.
So I'm really kind of surprised the Big 12 went that low.
I am too.
Because coaches, as Bruce Weber just said, you can't tell me there wasn't enough coaches to say we want 7 at least.
At least 7.
Scholarship players.
Give me some middle ground, right?
Yeah, like, at least 7. Well, 7 at least because you'd have 5 and then 2 subs. When you have 6, you only have 1 sub. Then you got to go to walk-ons. And by the way, there's foul trouble, but there's also injuries that happen.
Yeah. And that's why they're down to 6 is because they got injuries they're dealing with too.
Right.
Yeah.
But you at least have 7 scholarship players.
Yeah.
6 seems way too few, but 8 probably be the ideal, but 7 would be, to me, the compromise. I agree with you.
Yeah.
I agree with Bruce Weber, though. I mean, if I were him, I wouldn't want to play that game either. I wouldn't.
No, not at all. Not as a coach.
K-State will host Iowa State. Iowa State's 2-7. That's Wednesday, 6 o'clock at Bramley's. Big 12 games of the weekend. Texas, what a story with Andrew Jones. You know, he, the kid that had leukemia a couple years ago and dealing with cancer and then battled through, and he had the game-winning three-pointer to beat West Virginia in a battle of top 15 teams, 72-70. Texas fourth in the country. Baylor beat TCU 67-49. They're number two in the country. Texas Tech, number 18, walloped Iowa State and Ames 91-64. And as we said, K-State lost to Oklahoma State 70-54, and Oklahoma lost at KU 63-59. So once again, KU at Oklahoma State tomorrow night on Z96.3 Lake at 7 o'clock tip-off. K-State will host Iowa State Wednesday at 6 o'clock at Bramlage. Wichita State Shockers are now 7-3 overall, 3-1 in the AAC as they beat Cincinnati 82-76. They will have Tulsa coming up on Wednesday at 6 o'clock. So a nice win for the Shockers at home against Cincinnati, a team that had lost five in a row but still had lost a lot. All those games have been very, very close. Shockers win a close one there by 6. And Isaac Brown, interim head coach in place of Greg Marshall, who was forced out. Isaac Brown doing a good job in the interim situation. And who knows, maybe he'll be given a fair shot to keep the job going into next year. So the Shockers get the win over Cincinnati over the weekend. And let me see if there's anything else to share with you before we let you go. We do know that the Falcons feel like the interview they had with Eric Bieniemy. And so Bieniemy certainly has a chance to get a job, of course. He's interviewed for five of the six openings. The only one that he didn't interview for was, the Houston Texans. There's still rumors that Texans are Deshaun Watson wants out, and perhaps he'll be traded. So we'll see how that all plays out as well. And it looks like that's about it in the sports world. I think we've covered most of it here. Like we said, the NBA dealing with a lot of COVID issues, had a game that was postponed yesterday. And you're going to see more of that probably. Because of contact tracing and quarantines and everything else. So don't be surprised you see that on a regular basis or a semi-regular basis with NBA games, teams playing shorthanded, or teams simply not able to have enough players to have a game and then have to reschedule later in the year. Because remember, the NBA is no longer in the bubble. They are playing on the road, sometimes back-to-back games, although with still no fans. So we'll continue to follow that. And college basketball, of course, dealing with it too. Villanova has had four games postponed due to COVID, and that continues to be an issue, of course. We've seen on Big 12 women's basketball where K-State's still not resuming activities because of COVID-19. So, and KU women has had to stop at one point the season as well. So, and Baylor, I think, right now is stopped on the women's side. So it's something we're going to deal with, and we're just going to have to, I guess, like I said, fight through it. And that's kind of what the Major League Baseball did. The National Football League is getting closer to fighting all the way through it, and they dealt with it with COVID with the Browns, obviously. And that's a question, too. The Browns have had COVID issues. Now they play the Chiefs. Will the Chiefs have COVID issues going into the AFC title game, assuming they beat the Browns in the divisional game? I mean, you can worry all you want about everything, but we can't control it. So hopefully the games will be played and the best players will be available to play coming up this weekend in the NFL divisional playoff rounds.
State, regional, and national sports talk on your schedule. The Sports Ticket Podcast. Subscribe via Apple, Google, and TuneIn Podcasts or SunflowerStateRadio.com.